hello, welcome to episode number 3 of the Walks of Life podcast. My name is Krithar Srinivasan and my guest today on the podcast is this amazing person called Mr. Suman Kumar. Now on this podcast, I usually get people from different professions, ask them why they got into it, why they do what they do. And today I have a very interesting conversation with a stay-at-home dad, Mr. Suman Kumar. Because after talking to this guy, I realized that what he does is quite hard. Parenting by itself is a profession. And this is one of the most fun episodes I've had recording. I actually recorded this when my podcast didn't even have a title. It was untitled back then. You can constantly hear me giggling on my mic channel throughout the podcast. It was a very fun chat I had with him. We spoke about how your job is not what defines you as a person, and how Indian society reacted to Mr. Suman Kumar becoming a stay-at-home dad, and how you shouldn't have kids if you don't want to like get away from work to take care of them. It was a very fun conversation all in all. So give it a listen. Let me know what you think. This is episode number 3 of the Walks of Life podcast. So we are on our way. Hello. Welcome to another episode of this podcast, which is untitled while I'm recording it right now. So, I have with me Suman Kumar.
Hello, guys. Hi, Krithar.
Hi, Suman. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, I've come all the way to Suman's house and he's made lunch for me. And now we're drinking chai, which is really well-made chai, by the way, Suman.
Oh, shut up.
It tastes like chai, so...
Interesting. That was... Like, there is instant coffee, but there is no instant chai.
Right.
Maybe there is, but it's not that famous.
I don't think there's instant chai. Or maybe, yeah. Like, what, you add hot water to powder, it becomes chai.
Yeah, I don't know.
If there is an instant chai, guys, and you're listening, please let us know.
Yeah. But it won't be anywhere close to, like, the brew or, you know.
Yeah, the instant coffee actually tastes like coffee.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as instant chai, which is very sad. Okay, so Suman Kumar is a friend of mine. We met because he did stand up and I do stand up.
Yes.
But I look up to Suman for his writing.
Yeah.
I mean, I do for his stand up as well. But
what the fuck?
Suman Kumar's book is one of those novels that I've finished in one sitting, which is quite a big deal for me.
It is?
Yeah, because I'm a very slow reader. So for me to finish a novel in one sitting, that is that means
almost everybody who know, like, who finished the book, it's has been one sitting. Either the book is too short or it's like one of those kick-ass books, unput downable books.
Yeah, correct, exactly.
I will go with the latter. Okay. So
I of course know Suman because of all of this work related stuff, but for somebody who doesn't know Suman Kumar, how would you describe yourself, Suman?
I don't think I take myself too seriously, but at the same time, that's my cuckoo clock from all the way from Germany, guys.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I think personally, like, forget my profession, what I am, what I do and all that, but I think personally I am that person who's always curious, who's always, willing to learn new stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, and...
So when somebody asks you, you know how people like introduce, people like, we have a template, right? Like so meet
I'm
my
a
cousin.
Writer, I'm a
yeah. So you don't use that template.
I don't. I don't introduce myself only.
You don't believe that profession is important on introduction?
No, I don't think so. Because, like I said, it depends on context. Like if I'm going for a meeting and there I'm supposed to introduce myself, and if these tags and labels will help me get the deal, then of course I'm going to sell the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
But usually I don't think I'm the writer I want to be. I don't think I'm the comedian I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So like there are people who call themselves, I'm a writer, I'm a comedian, I'm whatever. But I don't think I'm...
You're there yet.
Like when you say that, you feel a little guilt inside saying, yeah, hi, I'm a writer. I'm like, am I?
But am I? Yeah. I put tweets every day.
I'm being brutally honest. If there is one thing that all encompassing, that
word,
what, umbrella term to describe me, I'm a storyteller.
You're a storyteller. Oh, that's interesting.
I write books, I write movies, I write series, I do stand-up comedy. But all of it, the common thread is storytelling.
Is storytelling. Ah, that's very interesting. But today we're not here to discuss your writing, which makes you very upset for some reason.
No, it's okay.
because this is the first time. So first time I met Suman Kumar was, he was an audience at my show. And we were doing the show. I think that was me, Utsav, Satish, Kanan, came in to
B
do
flat.
No, at the show was at Big Picture.
Sid
Banerjee was I think there, and Utsav, and Kanan came in to do a spot, and it was one of those very low turnout shows, and
Kanan bought a ticket.
Yeah, he bought a ticket to watch, and then we put him on the lineup.
There were four people, I think.
Right, and you had come by yourself that day. You're having a drink, sitting at the back, watching the show.
And then Sid was hosting, right?
Sid or Satish, one of them.
One of them looked at me and said, "So what happened, sir? Are you by yourself?" I'm like, "Yeah, bad breakup." Hmm. I said, "No, it's my off day." I'm like, "Off from what?" I'm like, "I said I'm a stay-at-home dad. So today is my off day, and I think Satish." In his infinite wisdom said, "I wish I had your life."
Yeah.
And I made a set out of it.
But that time you weren't doing stand-up.
No, I wasn't.
That time you were
I was a big fan of stand-up though.
But you were just a stay-at-home dad back then.
Yeah, and a writer.
And a writer, of course. Oh, so you was this the time when your novel was in the making? Like you were sitting and clocking your time?
The book was done. I was I had not signed the contract with Jayco. But it was done.
It was done. That was almost there. Yeah. It was time. So you were a stay-at-home dad, not forever. When you became a dad, is that when it's official that you're a stay-at-home dad? Because you had a job, of course, you left to. What was the reason that you left that job? Was it to take care of the?
No, I wasn't. There's two parts to the story.
Okay.
I used to jump jobs. Uh-huh. I was in IT. I was a tech writer. And then I became a user experience researcher / designer. I thought that will keep me interested in IT. And then I moved from enterprise software to sports media, which is ESPN.
Right.
But I realized one thing, that wherever you go, it's people who are working. You're still going to work with people. It doesn't matter if you're working in NASA or whatever. It is people, and when you put 150, 200 people under the same roof, there is bound to be tension. There is bound to be.
Hmm. So you didn't basically like the office atmosphere.
ESPN was it was a great organization. It is a great organization, I guess. I couldn't handle it because one of my bosses looked at me and said, "Suman, you are found wanting in your communication skills." I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, communication skills. If you're very outspoken and you're forthright,
then the office is not a place.
You're considered, he doesn't have communication skills.
Right. Or people are like, "Oh, this guy just is so full of himself."
He's so arrogant, all that.
Yeah.
But I was a misfit, clearly. I mean, there are people who do very well in such contexts, such environments, but I wasn't one of them. That's one. And Chitra, my wife. She kind of knew. She kind of sensing it. Adya was at the time about 8-9 months old, and I was losing my shit.
Okay.
And Chitra being Chitra, Chitra is academically she's one of those stellar achievers. So she cracked DM, which is a super specialization. She was already an MBBS and an MD in internal medicine. And then she wanted to super specialize in endocrinology, and she got the seat in Calcutta.
Okay.
And I said, "What is wrong with you? Just go." Because if you want to buy a seat in private, you'll have to shell out minimum 4 to 5 crores for DM at that time.
4 to 5 crores?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now she cracks this seat on merit, she gets it. And she had to go to Calcutta. And I said, and Chitra said, "I'll go to Calcutta only if you and Adya come." I'm okay. That wasn't because my job was excellent PowerPoint. It's not like if I don't do my job, people are going to die.
Okay? Right.
So, and also and she also said, "You have been faffing for a very long time that you're a writer. My dream is to write books and all." Not in that voice, but
yeah.
So she said, "Why don't you come to Calcutta and write a book?" I'm like, so we'll live on our savings and she'll get a stipend. So
you took the leap.
Hot potato, I dropped it. And
so you moved from Chennai to
Bangalore.
Calcutta. Oh, from Bangalore.
From
back
Bangalore
to
Calcutta. So Chitra already went there and she set up the house. And I told her I wanted good LED TV because I think India England series was about to win. And because my idea was
basically you were now on mood to get the vacation started.
I will watch TV for 3-4 hours and then write for 8 hours, all that bullshit. We bullshit ourselves, no? So Vahadya and I went on Christmas Day. We were in 2011 Christmas Day, I think. We were in Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We were in Calcutta.
Okay.
And on that day, the temperature in London and temperature in Calcutta was the same, 10 degrees Celsius.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, for some strange reason, Telegraph, the newspaper in Calcutta, found it like, hey, see, we are same like white people. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm here now.
Like, where have I come? Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, but it's
so that's what I mean that's how I moved without even thinking. I just dropped
it. It's just a decision that you took, like you're like, oh, it's okay to abandon everything, like, and
it felt good.
It felt like, also maybe because your wife Chitra was in such a confident place,
I mean,
to convince you into it.
Let's be honest,
okay.
Your doctors are not going to be out of business anytime soon, okay?
That is very true,
okay. So in retrospect, I thought of it saying, would you have done it if
she was
the support was not there? Right. I'm sure I would not have.
Right.
But I would have, I mean, I would have struggled and I would have made it happen.
Uh-huh.
And then probably later on, I would have quit the job. That's different. But
yeah.
I would not
but
have
But it
gone.
Wouldn't have been that simple.
Cold turkey, I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, that wouldn't have enabled to happen.
No, no.
And did you like talk to a friend or something and run it by them saying that, hey, listen, this is...
No, I honestly did not talk to anyone because I did not know what it entailed, in the sense that I did not know that I'm so used to this whole corporate... Every month, 30th time, last working day, the money is in the bank, right?
Yeah, right.
You have expense accounts, all that. I did not know that, you know, the lack of it is going to affect me so much. I had no idea. I said, what? It's just a job that you hate.
You had the advantage of having the kid already, because then otherwise you would be called unemployed. Now you were called a stay-at-home dad. Like,
yeah, true. Thank you for calling it a job. Yes. Yeah,
it is quite a...
Yeah.
I mean, because I know even now, like, you were like whatever the primary caregiver in the house to your daughter. And I know because you come late to some open mics sometimes. Like, can I come by 9? Because, you know, my daughter has... You have to wait for Chitra to come back from work so you can you can't leave the house.
Yeah.
Right, so it is quite a, it is a...
No, I wasn't
a
doing...
A day long...
Yeah, it is, I did not even know that it was work. Because I was this usual entitled, you know, sexist. I think I was sexist. I don't know. I was like, yeah, how difficult can it be just cooking and like taking care of the baby? Oh, man.
Now you're like, oh, I've come a long way. He's made sambar and rasam for me for lunch today. So
that was the easy part, though. No, but now she's grown up. She's in third standard and she can take care of herself. But no, then 2011, she was like barely two. Oh, my God.
That's when it was actually a full-time job.
Yeah, it was a full-time job.
And how did your folks take it, like your relatives and your family?
I don't give a shit about relatives, but...
Really, because that is one thing I'll tell you. Okay, so I'll cut you off. Because I was telling my mom as a joke the other day, that my mom is like, you do stand up, you write, it's such a difficult profession to explain to somebody. Like, how are you ever going to find somebody to settle down for? So I said, it's okay, I'll find somebody who's very rich and successful and happy and I'll chill at home. And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. So like, and this is like 2018. So I'm just assuming that world hasn't got, it was always not this progressive back then. Like, this is hardly even progressive what my mom said, where she was like taken aback by that.
No, but I see relatives, there is one aunt who came and said, oh my God, you've become a cook. That's what she said. As if, no, now do you see, it's a twofold insult. Okay?
Right.
One is she's basically calling me, oh, you've become worthless.
Hmm.
And two is she thinks being a cook is a
is like
slightly inferior, not slightly, a big time inferior. Okay. So, I mean, there are people, you can't help them, right?
Hmm.
It's like, you know, there are people who believe that, you know, you should kill people who eat beef.
Right.
You can't change them. I mean, you can only talk to them and reason with them. But so I don't have time to reason with these people. So my parents, they were chill. My parents, actually, they knew that, you know, this guy is not going to listen anyway.
Yeah.
And plus, it's not like that I was at that age where I was 38, dude. Like, I was a parent myself. No, I'm sure they were all disappointed because whatever little financial support that I used to give, I wasn't doing much because like once in a while I'll give my dad some pocket money, whatever. Not that he doesn't need it, but you know, for my own sake, I'll give it. But that stopped for 3 years.
Right,
because
parents have this thing where they never tell you that they have a problem, but they're like, but think about what they will think, you know, like they point a finger at somebody
else.
Kahenge.
Kahenge, they know that I don't, I mean, my parents,
They knew that it's not going to work on you. That
my mom was actually quite anxious. She used to ask me saying, well, like, but at the end of it, after this 3 years, you will get around to getting back to the job, right? I'm like, how can I explain this? I'm like, yeah, no problem. But now you never talk about, you never talk about the process. You always talk about the result.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait and watch. Just see. So I used to, and then my name used to appear in paper once in a while. And especially after stand-up, when people started, like, you know, Anand Devgan interviewed me. Oh my God, stay at home, Dad. It was a fancy thing. I think it is still.
It still is. It's still
How do you do that? I mean, as if, like, you know, I went to moon and came back. Mm-hmm. But when my mom started seeing that, my mom thought, oh, he did all that writing to become a stand-up comedian. Huh?
Okay.
yeah, same thing, yes.
No, because I have had this, for some reason, I have discussed this with my mother, okay? You came up sometime in conversation, I think we were talking about your book, and she's like, so what does someone do at home the whole day if his daughter goes to school? I'm like, what did you do when we all went to school? She's like, oh no, like, relax, pannan, wait, like, book padchen. And I was like, yeah, so I'm guessing he does the same thing.
No, I write.
Yeah, I know. But
I
like,
just because I'm a writer, I don't have to go to an office. No. See, that's another myth. You know, they say that Udyogam Purusha Lakshanam, they read it wrong. That the whole saying Udyogam Purusha Lakshanam is the word Purusha does not mean man. It means an evolved person.
Uh-huh.
And Udyogam doesn't mean going to office in Ambattur with your, you know, curd rice and, you know, pickle and eating it at 12
it's
o'clock.
It's basically being productive. That's
It is being purposeful.
Purposeful.
And productive, obviously. Yeah. Purposeful. So a person who finds purpose in his or her life becomes a Purusha, which means you're not supposed to take it literally
as a
but in our house they'll say, hey, Udyogam Purusha Lakshanam, why did you quit your job? I'm like, just dude, fuck off, dude. You don't even know what that means. So that is a myth that, you know, you have to go to office.
Right.
See, do you see, there are guys who still wear their office badges outside, even at a pub.
Yes.
You know why they do that? Because there's nothing else that makes them look cool.
Apart from the fact that they have a job.
Yes.
That's a weird...
I think so. I could be wrong, but if you are one of those people, audience, who is listening to, if you're one of those people, well, fuck you, don't do it.
I've asked my friend this question once. I'm like, office is over, you can remove your tag. And he says, no, if I remove it, it'll get lost.
Oh, rubbish. No.
Which now I'm like, oh.
Dude, I used to hide my office badge, okay?
Yeah, you weren't very
proud. I never used to wear it even in... you need it only to open doors.
You're right.
Literally, metaphorically. You need open doors, and then after that, I put it in my pocket. That's it. But see, my thing is, I'm way cooler than my job. I think that supremely being egoistic is also kind of helps. That whole attention.
That whole
seeking.
Like, yeah, oh, I can do anything.
I used to tell interviewers saying, oh, so why should we give you this job? I used to tell them that, you know, if I join you, you will become cool. Not that it's true, but, you know, somebody has to believe that, and it starts
correct.
With me.
And, it's
I think that I add value to my job. It's not the other way around.
Right.
Even in stand-up comedy, I think that I bring something. I've been doing only for 3 years, but I still believe that I already have bought some freshness to the
table. Yeah, your whatever 45 years of experience with life that you talk about, you've somehow managed to put that in your stand-up really well.
Yeah.
And having the luxury of time has given you that.
I know, people think this is not a job. Stand-up is not a job. Do you know that?
Right, I've been told.
They'll say, oh, stand-up, what? You go to a bar and talk, no? There are guys who think that. There are guys who believe that if you don't have a house by your 30, 35, I'm 45, but that, oh my God, what are you doing with your life? So, I mean, 95% of the people are filtered right there for me, which is why I don't hang out with them.
Which are the people that you never associate with anyway, you don't care what they
I
think.
Don't care. So, the remaining 5%, there are guys who celebrate me, like my best friend, you know, Kicha, who lives in UK. He constantly calls me and says, Macha, I keep seeing stuff about you. I'm so glad you're doing this.
Yeah.
And those are the people I call friends. So they are chill. They are like, dude, what you're doing is cool. Just keep at it.
But do you think people still look down upon the fact that like the whole Mr. Mommy scenario that you have going where the wife is the bread earner and the husband.
I mean, wife is a bread earner. Well, she was.
She was until now. Like now you have your writing thing gig going very well, touchwood for you.
Right.
But until a point where she was the primary bread earner of the family, you think?
No, it was a big problem. I tell you what, personally, like, you know, it was, I was blind to it. Like I used to ask her for money. There was a time when I was broke.
Right.
So I was taking money from her. But the thing is, what Chitra used to say was, dude, you used to pay fees whatever when I was studying. But it's okay. For 3 years after that, you will start making. So it's just a like one of those adjustments.
It's one
periods.
Of those phases.
Phases, and we'll and she was right.
Right.
Like now it's like, you know, I'm killing it, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, so now you have your thing going. She has her thing going. But it's just first.
But when you are right, so there are people who say, oh my God, she's a breadwinner. Who wears pants in your house?
Yeah. Who wears the pants? In this
like, both of us. First of all, that's a sexist statement. Like why do you think only men wear pants?
Who wears the pants in this relationship? Both of us do. Oh, it's a metaphor. Yeah. So, but do you think people still think like that? Like, cause I mean, so is
there
it
are guys who do that.
The like, newer generation. What do you think? Do you think they're also there?
They call me. There are guys who call me single mom. Like, something they keep referring to me. They think it affects me. It doesn't.
Yeah, I know it doesn't affect you. But I'm saying like, if there is somebody else. So now we have already established that you are this person whom nothing is bothering you, which is why it's so comfortable for you to do this. But for somebody else, like if you were to look at this from a third person perspective.
One thing I'll tell you, this in retrospect I realized, one thing I was very sure was that there was no way like Adya, my daughter, will grow up in my parents or you know, Chitra's parents and we'll be away.
Right.
You know, because I was very sure that I will never let that happen. Or the other thing was that I will never have, say, a domestic help whose only job is to take care of
the daughter. You didn't want that.
So I'm like, no, it's going to be hands-on, which is kind of, I think, if I look back and say, that is one of the greatest decisions we made, because now she's a friend. I mean, my daughter,
I've seen you both, like.
Yeah, they are like, we like.
You pull each other's legs, like, and she's like, what, 8 years old, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's one of those, one. Number two is like to watch your baby grow from, say, 1, 2 months, 5 months, and then every week things are happening.
Yeah.
If you had had a job, you wouldn't have been had the opportunity to look at from the best seat in the room. And I think that is miraculous. And
right.
That was like to see how, like the first time, what blew my mind was like she was, we're in Calcutta and I'm sitting there and she was watching Tom and Jerry. And at that time she could barely speak, but she was humming all the classical music bits that come behind.
Right.
And she was going like, you know, tuk, 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 all that she was doing.
Huh.
And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not saying it's because it's my child, but I think most children have their grasping power.
Correct. And you would have been sitting in your office somewhere trying to make rent money.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just that, you know, I think this is way more beautiful. I'm saying, don't be a stay-at-home dad for like forever.
Yeah.
Because for me, I don't have a choice. I'm a writer. I don't have to go to...
You don't have to, right.
Stand up. I don't have to...
But I think if somebody wants to make that decision...
I'm saying, take 1 year off.
Yeah. I think both parents should like this.
Yeah, take 1 year off and just stay with your child and watch the child grow up for 1 year. That is beautiful.
Right.
I know it's kind of very like, you know, Karan Johar-esque senti, but it's the truth.
It's actually not very Karan Johar senti. It's more like Ram Gopal Verma, Sanjay Leela Bhansali senti.
Oh
like.
God, okay. Okay.
But yeah.
It's not senti, but I think...
But
I,
it's a nice sentiment, I'm saying. Like, I
beautiful.
Think I agree, yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, oh shit. Like, she's 8 now. Like, between 7 to 8, they grow up like some 150 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything, and I think after a certain point, once they become, oh my God, I'm old. I'm saying all this. Uh-huh. Once they become like 10, 12, they don't even want to hang out with you.
Right, that's true. I know. I've been told all these things. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
See, you live separately.
I live away from my parents.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's a new thing, trend in like the urban India. I think at least in metros, like kids are like, I don't want to stay. I want to.
So do you encourage the whole you have to stay with your kid thing, or
I have to stay with your kid as in like,
as in like
they're
when they're young, you sit, you don't, you clearly don't advocate a person, somebody else bringing the kid up.
Like I've seen people where like, you know, a family will enter a mall and the lady and the husband, they'll be walking and behind them there'll be two really jaded looking people. One guy will be like, you know, one lady will be carrying the baby or like, you know, pushing the pram. And the other one will be like carrying supplies. I'm like, dude, what is this entourage? Just keep life simple. No, I know you have money, but what is the point? You're I think that that is being unfair to the child.
But was there one very strange challenge that you had to face being the, like, so I know with women, like, taking care of kids, there is certain established
primordial basis.
Yeah, it's all, it's not something that, you know, you think about too much, but, like, because you obviously you don't have another male friend that you can call and be like, hey, how do you do this?
Why does the shit smell so vile, bro?
Right. Right. So I'm just saying it's something very different, okay? Because there isn't a network that you can hang out with. No, did actually, that really?
There is a network in the sense, like, you know, fortunately, but not. There is a network as in, like, me, there is, you know, Sidden Madukut, right? Sidden, all of us are in a WhatsApp group where all these are, like, Sidden is a writer, so he stays home. I think it's the same kind of a
It's the same story, okay.
So there are a bunch of guys from Delhi. Sidden is in, I think he's in the UK.
There is a cult out there that we don't know
all
about.
Legendary people, okay, minus me, okay, not me, but there are legendary guys out there who are doing this. They'll ask, like, do you think this is, he's too young for to watch this and what to do this. So we keep, not on a daily basis, oh my God, or she wants to eat charcoal, what do I do? Not that kind of... But there is a, it's not a support system, but there is, like, you know, there is somebody out there who kind of gets what...
correct. Like, because there is no instruction manual to these things, right? There is there's no one set template.
No, one of the greatest lessons I've one of the greatest... takeaways, rather, not lessons. One of the greatest takeaways for me from this whole thing was I've become patient. I used to be very impatient. I used to be like, you know, what is this? You know, I'm a very entitled Brahmin behavior. But what I learned from, like, you need extraordinary patience with a baby. Like, you can't slap the baby and get it to do what you want to do. And it's not allowed also. I'm just saying.
It's not the first thought.
There are sometimes you feel so murderous in your head. You'll be like, oh my God, what did I do? Like, 1.5 hours and she'll refuse to go to sleep. And you are thinking, like, I'm going to jump out of this second floor right now. Okay, I want to, like, die right now. I mean, but slowly you learn that, you know, you need to... The whole, it's not acceptance of the inevitable, but it's about the fact that, you know, this is how things are.
Yeah, you learning, I guess.
That learning was, like, people tell me, like, I did Mr. Mommy, the solo show, I did 27 times.
Right.
And I want to do it 50 times to make it tighter. That patience I never had.
Ah, okay.
And because, and also writing, as a writer, when you're writing books, I'm writing my second novel now.
Yes.
It takes extraordinary patience to, like, you know, sit and, you know, go through your, the what you wrote, rewrite it. All that is, like, it's a lonely thing, one. Two is, it takes time. And also in stand-up comedy, how every other guy wants to become famous within, like, he's not even
like
done.
Like tomorrow.
There are guys who wear jackets and come and say, so when do I become famous? Without even attending one open mic. But the point is, now I know the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll that way. Being a stay-at-home dad is a decision. If I look at it, I did it primarily for Chitra and...
So that she can do what? She's anyway killing it at her job.
The idea was you will do super specialization and then you'll make loads of money and then I will quit my job. Deal. That was a deal.
Right.
But
now you're not in a job that you want to quit. You're writing. You like writing.
It's not a job anymore.
Now it's not a job anymore.
So when I go and, like...
Now they're just giving you money to, like, have fun.
That's
I usually, like, end my podcast by asking one fun story from your work. So, which is, like, now weird situation we're stuck in because I don't know.
You don't want to talk about writing.
Being a stay-at-home dad. What is one memory you have from this?
So there was this birthday party that...
you actually have a story. This is so fun. Okay, tell me.
There was a birthday party that Chitra said, can you take... So I went. We went to this far-off place.
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to say which place. We went to this far-off place and there was about... This is 2 years back. We go to this place and the whole place is filled with women.
Okay.
Like mothers and kids.
And you walk in.
And I am the only guy who... I'm the only guy.
At the whole party.
Because it's an afternoon party.
Okay.
Right. So go there and...
So all the breadwinners are at work.
At work and it's just me and the ladies. For the first day, it was awkward.
Yeah.
And then finally, like, they figured out that, you know, I'm a...
You are Mr. Mommy.
I am a stay-at-home dad. So they all really warmed up to me. Right. And they were asking me questions like, how do you do this? How do you get your husband to do it? How do you, and all? So I was like, really like, oh my God. Like, I'm like, no, I think it should be voluntary. You can't force it. You can't like put a gun to a guy's head and say, from tomorrow, Jayant, you will become a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
Jayant is a fictitious name. There is no Jayant, guys. And that was funny. And then finally, after everything that one lady asked, So how long were you laid off? They believed that. That's my cuckoo clock, guys.
It's four.
No,
okay.
She asked me, it's a tag now, no? In my story.
Like, right.
You know, she asked me, so how long have you been laid off? They refused to believe that a guy can do it on that's when I realized, oh my God, this is cool.
Like, not just this, like, even women are hard to find it hard to believe that a man can do it. Like, it's not just like
not general, all, but some of them they're
but it is there. There's a good number of people who think of it that way.
If it's winter and you're walking out, like, you know, with just a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You can't say, I like the weather, no. People say, no, he doesn't have money for a coat, bro.
Yeah.
That's what people use. I know, yeah. Slightly stretched the metaphor,
yes,
but you get
it. Very, very well drawn parallel. Nice. So, like, now, what is next for Suman Kumar?
What is next for Suman Kumar?
Now that you don't have that many, stay-at-home dad responsibilities now that...
As I used to have. Yes,
yeah, as
true.
You used to have. Like, so now
right
I think...
Right now, it's the same. Like, feed her lunch and make sure that she goes for dance class, all that. That's
right.
All.
Like, now when I came, you went to pick her up from school.
Yeah. That's it. It's not major...
There isn't that much...
I'm replaceable now.
Yeah, like, correct.
And what next? We're about to conclude shooting of The Family Man, which I wrote for Amazon Prime with Rajan DK.
Of course, the one you...
Rajan DK, who wrote and produced three. Yeah, like they have hit the 100 crore club. Now suddenly they have become like mega, mega, mega famous.
Yeah.
More famous than they were already. So Family Man is coming out and I am the head of content for Why Not Studios.
Correct, yes, of course.
So the movies that we curated, two of them are going to the floors now.
Nice.
There's work there and there is this. And my second book is...
Like, how far in are you now?
It's one first draft and I'm writing the second draft. I'm rewriting.
You're rewriting.
Ranga Halfpants is in the movie.
The movie. The novel that Suman Kumar wrote is now going.
Guys, it's called Ranga Halfpants.
Yes.
It's available on Amazon. Please buy it.
Please
Thank
buy
you, Krithat,
yeah.
for plugging
only
it.
There's only one copy left. That's the great thing about this book.
That's the greatest marketing ploy ever by Amazon. Like, only one copy
one
left.
One copy left. Every time you buy one copy, they add one more.
So... So Ranga Halfpants in pre-production. So a lot of stuff happening.
And I had so much fun, Suman. Thank you for...
Thank you for having me on this podcast, which you... I don't know what you call it, but thank you so much.
Yes,
Hope it goes viral and makes you famous and me famous.
Yes, of course.
More famous than you are already.
And,
I mean.
You can reach out to Suman Kumar on his social media.
Twitter is Suman K. S-U-M-A-N-K on Twitter.
And on Instagram, I am Suman Kumar.
I am I-A-M, not I-A-M. That is another dude, okay? I am Suman Kumar. Is that where?
Yeah,
Instagram.
You can get in touch with him on Instagram and ask him questions about how to convince your wife on letting you pursue the good life.
Or not.
All right, that's been the podcast, okay. Ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Have a good time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was episode number 3 of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you made it all the way till the end, then yay, high five to you. If you didn't make it all the way to the end, then I'm guessing you're not listening to this part of the podcast. But thank you for being an audience, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to put out these podcasts more regularly. Next week on my podcast, I have Prasad Bhatt, who's the founder of Graphic Curry. So that's going to be another fun episode. If you liked or disliked something, do find me on social media. My name is Krithat Srinivasan. I'd love to hear whatever you have to say. Thank you and have a great week ahead. See you soon.